Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Look out! It's only films to be buried with the resurrection.
Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With, The Resurrection. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a referee, and I love film. As Edgar Allan Poe once said, there is no beauty without some strangeness. Look at Mulholland Drive. It's fucking weird and it's scary, but it's also really, really fit. Yeah, I'd agree with that, Edgar. Nice one. Thanks. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died. Then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. But not this week. This week, I use my shamanic powers to bring back a former guest from the dead and ask them 12 new questions. And this week, it is the brilliant actor, Emmy nominee, and he's also my screensaver. It's Mr. Taheeb Jamoh. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get 20 minutes of extra chat with Taheeb. You get a secret. You get all sorts of stuff. You get the whole episode uncut. You also get it as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. So, Taheeb Jamoh. God, I love him. He plays Sam Abisanya in Ted Lasso. He's a phenomenal actor. I've said this before, but he's the George Clooney in RER. We recorded this just before he was nominated for an Emmy, and I've never been more happy or more proud of anyone in my life ever. It was so lovely to do this over Zoom. Now his smoke alarm is fixed. I've got nothing but love for this man. He's a brilliant actor and a wonderful man, and I think you will very much enjoy it. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 211 of Films to be Buried With, The Resurrection! And welcome to Films to be Buried With, The Resurrection. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by a man, a boy, a handsome fellow, a model, a glamour model, an actor, a writer, a producer, a lover, a fighter, but only with his heart, a beautiful, strong, loving heart.
And this is so much of that is wrong.
And a kindness that bears, that people cannot handle, all wrapped up in an underlying bow of ruthlessness that will kill you if you cross him. Please welcome to the show my angel, my love, and the owner of my heart. Here he is. He's back from the dead. It's only Mr. Taheeb Jamoh!
Yay! I'm alive! I made it. So much of that is factually incorrect. Why are you lying to the people, Brett?
I tell it like it is. You know me. I'm famous for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you are.
Taheeb, welcome back. What an absolute delight to have you back on the show. I know I speak for all the listeners when they say, this is the one I'm signing up to the Patreon for because I want to see that boy. Because let's face it, yes, you're a talent. Yes, you're a personality. Yes, you've got all the skills in the world. But also, you're fucking fit. And that's what they want to see.
Says you. Says the prettiest boy on TV.
Now, for those of you who don't obsessively follow Taheeb, you might not know that my screensaver is Taheeb and will be until probably the day I die, I'd imagine.
I actually wonder when, you know, and it's the same for me, for those who don't know. Your screen is blurry, so people can't see it.
My screen is blurry.
Oh my God, that's rude. There you go. A really pixelated face.
But genuinely, I made you my screensaver. I can't remember the day that it happened, but ever since, whenever I look at my phone, it genuinely makes me smile. And I think, you know, people go, oh, looking at your phone is bad for you. I'm like, no, it's like a little dopamine hit. I look down, there's you, and I go, ah, oh, everything's all right. Yeah.
That's sweet. I mean, it's going to be weird when we, like, get married and stuff, and our spouses are like, can you change it to me now? And I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I suppose it would be if we didn't marry each other, but, you know. Let's see. The life is still long, and, you know what I mean? So, don't worry.
Yeah.
One day at a time. What... We're currently filming season 3 of Ted Lasso. When didn't we first do this the day season 1 came out?
We did this on the day of season 1. Wow. It was Ted Lasso Day. Which, see, right. Like, I listened to the original version when I died the first time, and it was so sweet, bro. Like, it felt like such a long time ago. It was really nice. Like, we had no idea what was coming. Like, that was the first 3 episodes that just dropped. And, we're in the middle of the pandemic.
Crazy. Yeah, fuck. Can you say in under a minute how your life has changed since then?
Oh, man, how's my life
using
changed?
Using only verbs.
running, acting, jumping.
Screaming, crying,
screaming,
hiding.
murdering people. No, how's my life changed? I think, I don't know, I feel a bit maturer. I have a bit more money now, actually, which is actually really good. I've been working a bit more. Like, I'm doing, we've done 2 more Ted Lassos.
Had you done The Power? Had you started The Power?
This is what's funny, is when we did the last podcast, like, we filmed a bit of The Power, and then COVID stopped us, and it still hasn't released. Like, it will release next year. Wow. And by that point, I think I'll be getting re-resurrected. I'll be getting murdered again on your podcast. Yeah. But yeah, so The Power still isn't finished, which is really funny because... Like, I got that job before I got Ted Lasso, and we've done 3 seasons of Ted Lasso.
Oh my God, wow.
And The Power. But like, they've shown me a soft look and a soft cut of the first 3 episodes, and I think it's incredible. I think it's amazing. It's going to be so, like, you know when you watch something and you, and I'm doubling, tripling down on it. Like, it's going to be really cool, really important. Yeah, man, especially, like, given where we're at right now with, America just going to war on women and their bodies. I think it's going to be, like, a really significant and impactful show. I can't wait to finish it, release it, and see it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. Are you able to watch yourself? Are you happy watching yourself on screen, or do you find it weird and awkward?
I think I'm used to it now, you know. Like, I don't know how you feel about it, but, yeah, I'm used to it.
Do you do what you think you were doing?
Sometimes, definitely not.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? That's not what was happening in my mind. But for the most part, it is what I think I'm doing. And I think it's weird. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think it's also because, like, you probably don't even audition anymore, Mr. Flippin' Emmy winner. But like, when you have to do... When you have to do self-tapes, like, you just have to watch yourself back in order to do audition. And for people who don't know, self-tapes are like when you record yourself doing a scene and you send it off to like the people that choose who acts in their shows. And so that's that. But like, you have to watch yourself a lot. And so when I graduated from drama school, I just had to do loads of those. So I think I got used to doing it pretty quickly. But then when we started doing Ted Lasso, like, when you're filming for so long, you have to learn how to not watch yourself in order to, do you know what I mean? In order to like, know what's going on, or know what your face and hands and body are doing. So, so I think I'm used to it now. I kind of like it. It's cool.
I like watching you.
Do you like watching yourself back? How do you feel about it?
I mean, it took me a while. When we made Super Bob, like, I hated it so much. The first time I had to watch myself back, I was like, oh my God, let's just cancel the whole film. This is a disaster. And then... I did find, truthfully, I found that I sort of had to watch it 3 times to get the sort of shame and hatred out. And then I could watch it a bit more objectively so that we could edit it and go, okay, so let's just imagine this isn't me and it's someone else. And but I am often surprised by, oh, that's not what I thought my face was doing. You know,
in a good way?
I don't know. It's just like, you think... I'm probably doing that. And then you see it and you go, well, I definitely wasn't doing that.
I think I had the same thing when I watched Anthony. They sent it to me early before it fully came out. And I had to watch it like 4 times, like you said, in order to just like get all of the, do you know what I mean? Just get everything else out of my head. And by the time I watched it the night it aired with my mum, I could just see the film and not see myself, which is, I think it's a skill. Like, you have to build it up and do it. I think famously, like, Hannah doesn't watch herself. Right,
I think you have to, particularly if you're going to direct and produce and do your own stuff, you have to. You just have to sort of, you have to be a big boy and go, all right, fuck it, let's do this, because you sort of have to. You still have to be able to tell the story and stuff, but it is weird. You don't want to get self-conscious, so it's probably best not to look until you've finished, until you've ruined the whole thing, and then you can look.
Ruin the whole thing.
I don't think Hannah does watch. No, that's mad. She should.
She must have seen bits of it, but I remember her saying that she didn't watch it, which I found really peculiar, because she's brilliant.
Yeah, she's really missing out on some good stuff.
Can you imagine her just like watching the episode and like watching everybody else, and then she comes out, she's like, no. That's funny. Just like throwing shit at the TV.
Taheem Jamal, you were dead, but I have brought you back to life because I well like you. But what point in your life would you like to come back to? What would you change? What would you keep the same? Any regrets?
Sorry, are you Brett, or are you like a weird like ogre time lord type of immortal?
I don't know what you mean. I'm just Brett. I'm the same guy I've always been.
What is your answer?
Oh no, I don't know. I think in the other podcast, I died when I was like 103, 102, something like that. And so I think I'm gonna bring myself back. I'll be 25. Okay, I'm coming back to this age. Currently,
so right now, changing. You're not changing anything from the past. You're leaving.
I can change things.
Yeah, if you can go back, you can come back at 20. You can come back at 15 if you want.
I'd come back at. I keep my memories from now, or I just go?
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
I keep. Okay, cool. We don't want to go too young, because that's just like, it's boring. I think I'd go back to secondary school. I think I'd be like 15, maybe. I feel like that's the point where I'm like, I can make important changes.
What would you change if you don't mind?
I don't know. I think I would have spent less time doing things I wasn't interested in. Like, I spent so much time doing the things I thought I should have been doing, and I was just worried about everything all the time. So I think, you know, I'd have gone back and just been a bit more selfish and said, I'm doing the things that I like, and things that I don't like, I'm just, I ain't going to do it.
What? So secondary school, you would have still gone to classes. You're going back, you're going to class, you're doing all these classes.
No,
again.
I think I might, because think about it. Like, I still want to go to drama school, but I don't need any like A levels or any qualifications to get into drama school. So to be honest, I could just fuck around and do absolutely, whatever. But I think I probably would have gone into classes. I would have been a bit nicer to my teachers. I probably would have, you know, beat some more people up.
Oh yeah, that's a lovely lesson to have learned.
I think I'm going back. I'm going back to beat up 15-year-old kids
to enact vengeance. That's a lovely. Yeah, that's a real Ted Lasso story. he's going back in time to physically injure some children.
why is he attacking those 14-year-old boys? You don't know what they did.
That's a 25-year-old man just beating up teenagers.
Yeah.
Would you still go? Would you go to drama school again? You mad?
Actually, what? Well, I guess if I know what I know now, then I wouldn't have to, because I'd have already done it. But I think when I went to drama school in my like previous life, when I actually I just knew nothing about the industry. I was like going. I wanted to be an actor, and I had no idea what that was. I didn't know anybody that had done it before, and so I had to go to drama school, because if I just tried to act, I literally wouldn't have known what to do and where to go. But if I could go back now, actually, I don't know. I could probably just... Actually, no, I'd have to go to drama school. I made too many good friends there. I'd go for the... Yeah, like, for the good memories.
Is there anyone you're beating up at drama school?
No. I actually had a fight at drama school when I was there, in real life.
Tell us. No. I don't know if you told me on a podcast, so now you've put it out there, you're probably going to have to.
No, I didn't tell you. I think I was really stressed out, and like it was one of those times where like I think
teacher.
You know how, no, are you crazy? Can you imagine I beat up one of my teachers? That would be a better story. No, it was another student who was on a different course, and there was a rule at my school at Guildhall that if you had a fight, you got kicked out. Apparently, it was just like a thing, and like there was like no tolerance for it, which there shouldn't be. But then, like, I was in my third year, and I remember I had my first agent meeting this day, and I was insanely stressed out. Like, we were in third year, it was like, this is it, like, this is the launching point of your career, and it's either gonna happen or it's not. And I was really stressed out, and I had my first meeting, and I didn't know what to do, and blah, blah, blah. And I ran into this guy, and we had run into each other before, and like, kind of, you know, like, he like bumped into me in the street or something, and like, was kind of like, yo, what are you saying? And I was like, yo, what are you saying? Blah, blah, blah. And it was just a bit crazy. And then nothing happened. And then we ran into each other again. And he just kept provoking me. Like, it was crazy. Like I turned around and I was like, yo, like, you're that guy that I ran into. And he was like, yeah, you're that guy that I ran into, blah, blah, blah. And, and then, like, we got into, like, a bit of a standoff. And I was like, listen, bro, like, I'm walking away. I'm going to do my thing. Like, I'm just letting you know, like, just be careful how you talk to people, innit? Because that's kind of crazy, whatever. And I was about to walk away. And he was just standing there. And I was like, bro, why are you standing there, bro? Like, you know, do your thing. And he was like, nah, bro, I want to watch you walk away for the second time. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. And then I was like, you know what? It's cool. I'm going to walk away. And then as I was walking away, he was like, yeah, fucking pussy, yo. And I just snapped. Like, I've never been that angry. Like, I can't remember the last time I was that angry. And I just, like, snapped. And we had this big old fight. And I remember after the fight, I was crying so much, bro. Like, I thought I had, like, thrown everything away. I was like, I'm going to get kicked out. I was like, I can't go to this agent meeting now. And I'm not going to get an agent. And everything's over. And I was actually supposed to have a really important disciplinary meeting with, like, the heads of all the departments at my school. And I remember I wrote all of this down into, like, this really long spoken word poem. And I performed this poem at something. And I think somebody must have heard it. And, like, just, like, from my point of view, like, what I was going through and just, you know, I'm like, I'm a boy. And, like, at that point, like, you didn't really know how to say you were stressed out, or you didn't really, like, there was no, I didn't have a vocabulary to be like, oh, like, I'm a bit overwhelmed and a bit anxious and ultimately scared about what my career is going to be. And so, like, all of that pent up frustration just got let out in this one moment where I lost it. And then after I performed that piece, I just never heard about it again. Like, there was no talk of this disciplinary meeting. Somebody obviously went and fought a battle for me behind my back. But yeah, it just, the entire thing went away. And me and that guy, we spoke and we squashed it, and it was cool. And, like, we were from, you know, similar neighborhoods, similar backgrounds. And
what happened with the guy? So you what, like, this was just in the street outside the drama?
No. The first time we met each other was in the street. The second time was in the building. We happened to go to the same school.
So what?
As well.
So when you just sort of were on the floor.
I just turned around and I recognized him and he recognized me. Like, we didn't know each other, but we were in the same school. And we were kind of like, yo, you're that guy that was chatting shit outside Tesco. And I was like, you're that guy that was chatting shit outside Tesco. And
when you were fighting, like, what, you sort of, like, rolled around on the floor, and then, like, what stopped it? Did people stop you?
Like, friends, teachers, everything, everybody just, like, got involved and it got a bit messy and stuff. It was just, God. Oh man, like, it's one of those moments. Like, I regret it, but there was also a part of me that was like, it was a very important moment. And I learned a lot from that. It was a mistake, but a necessary mistake.
And when you sort of made up with the guy?
Yeah, I went and found him and we spoke. And I was like, listen, bro, like, it was stupid. It shouldn't have happened. I was super, super, super stressed out, which isn't an excuse, but is what it is. And he was like, oh, he was saying the same stuff. And I was like, bro, where are you from? He was like a white guy. And I was like, where are you from? And he was like, I'm from South London. I'm like, I'm from South London. Yeah. And then we just started talking. We didn't become friends or anything, but we just, like, spoke it out. And, you know, if I saw him now, I'd be like, yo, what are you saying, bro? And it'd be cool, I hope, you know? So, like, that's what I'd go back to primary school to, like, do with all my bullies. We'd have the fight, but then...
Have the fight, do a quick also, spoken word, and then move on.
Poetry is the answer, bro.
It's what I do. I'll move around. I'll knock this guy out. I'll read him a poem, and I'll move on.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
No, man, you gave me a black eye, but I can't even do a Shakespeare quote.
Oh, man. How do we even get onto that? It's so funny.
Tuhib, you are back to life. The living are very happy to see you. But they want to talk about your life again, this time through film, which makes a change. First question is, what's the last film you saw, Tahib?
The last film I saw is Everything Everywhere All at Once, which masterpiece, bro. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, man. It's incredible. It was incredible. It's just so good.
I love that film on every level, and I think it is profound and silly and wild and fun and deep and incredibly moving. And what I found interesting is, for me, it was like, oh, I think it was a whole film about love. Nish, he said it spoke to him sort of as a child of immigrant parents, and he felt more, the story that affected him more was the mother-daughter story rather than the husband-wife story. And I wondered, for you, is it something different altogether? Or
no, it was the same thing. I think, you know, at the beginning, you see her, like, just trying to figure all of this stuff out, like run this laundry, like figure out her taxes, like need a translator a bit. And I'm like, I saw my parents in that. I saw my dad in that. I saw my mum in that. But then also the, like that relationship of the mother and daughter, I found like just really, really, really moving, man. But I think there was also something about, you know, having hope and being optimistic. Like, you know how sometimes you can feel like a bit of an idiot, or you can feel a bit naive and young if you're optimistic, and if you're not, you know, a bit jaded. And I think that was the thing that really hit me the most about that film, was it was kind of like, it's cool to like just stay open and to like attack things with love. Like, the world is really bleak and really dark, but you don't have to be like that. And I really struggle with that sometimes, man, because like, I feel like you'll just get taken advantage, like people will take advantage of you if you're nice. And if you're like good, and if you're well-meaning, like in business or in whatever, like sometimes, you know that saying, like good guys don't win, or like good guys finish last, or something like that. Like,
yeah, I don't think that's true. I used to be incredibly dark and cynical for many, many, many years. And it's only more recently I've actually realized I'm much more optimistic and romantic, because I do realize it's what you put out. Like, your world is what you put out. So
it's what you attract, isn't it?
Yeah, so if you are open and full of love, you will see the world like that a lot more than if you go, everything's fucked. Because everything is fucked, but not all people are.
Yeah, completely. You know, and you know, that's the Ted Lasso story, isn't it? Like, but it's hard to do. And
it is.
You know, like it's not easy to do. Even like Ted or Sam, like, you know, these, or Danny Rojas, like that, you couldn't be like that all the time. It's not natural. And so like, you are going to have ups and downs, but it's a thing of like constantly reminding yourself that if I lead with love and openness, then that's what I'll get back a lot of the time. Not all of the time, but most of the time, I hope. And, I found that just incredibly moving, man. Like I went with, my friend Max, and, I was like, I can't remember the last film that made me cry and laugh at the same time. It was so silly, but it was so
moving. It was so silly. I love
The raccoon. The raccoonie? Oh my god, bro! You better go and find raccoonie, bro.
And the bum dildos. It's like, how can a film that's about profound meaning of life also have people jumping on bum dildos? It's like, it's quite.
Oh my god. It's so funny. I think that the line that really got me was when they're in the alleyway and she's like a famous actress, and he's, you know, in a suit or whatever, and he goes, and I think in a past life I would have really enjoyed doing laundry and taxes with you. I went, I want to find someone that wants to do laundry and taxes with me.
Please stop.
Do you want to do laundry and taxes with me, bro? Let's do laundry and taxes together. Yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
Should we make a marriage pact? Like, if we're not like both married by the time we're like 60 or something, should we get married? Should we just shack up?
I absolutely would do that. That is a great idea. We'd have a perfect marriage. You could do whatever. You could. You know, I wouldn't mind you. You know, we'd have a nice life.
Are you trying to lay out the terms and conditions of our marriage?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm basically trying to say to you, you know, you don't have to be. stop the mess up.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
We'll work out these terms in private before we take it to the public space.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Who do you think should play you in the film of your life?
I mean, I don't know. It depends how old I am. in the film of my life. Like, it depends what section of my life is the most interesting part of my life. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it could be, well, that's, again, it's up to you. It might be your whole life. It might be a section you've chosen.
But like, I also, there's also a part of me that's like, me, bro, like, give me the job. Like, I need that work. Can I have that, please? Like, who else?
Yeah, but you'll still be filming season one of The Power. So you can't.
Fine. Okay. I'm tied in. I can't do, I don't know, actually. I have a lot of actor friends that I think could play me. One of my friends, Jonathan J. Tyro, I think would do a really good job playing Tahib. But I also think if we're talking older Tahib, say we froze Mahershala Ali in time and then we allowed me to like grow and like live life. And then we're doing, you know, that, but Mahershala is the guy. Because I'm just going to spend the whole of my life trying to be Mahershala anyway.
Yeah.
He'd be the perfect time.
So you got better. That's great casting.
Oh, man. If I get to work with Mahershala Ali, I think I'd be done. I'd peak. That's it. That is my mountaintop.
Do you think you'd be happier? I don't think we haven't done this yet. Do you think you'd be happier than when you worked with Sam Richardson? For the listener at home, Sam Richardson in Ted Lasso. Sam Richardson is incredible and amazing and wonderful. But I've also never seen Tahib look happier. He was so in love with Sam Richardson.
I am obsessed.
He couldn't believe his luck that he had scenes with him.
Bro, like I just spent the whole day. Like season two was such a blast because I'd have days where I just spent the whole day with Hannah. And then I have days where I just spent the whole day with Sam Richardson. And Sam just made me laugh so much, bro. Like I've never laughed that much on set. He was so great. I learned so much from him. He is hilarious. And he's just the nicest guy. He's the nicest guy ever.
He's so great.
Yeah. I think, it'd be tough. I can't choose between Sam Richardson and Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali's got his work out for him to impress you more than Sam Richardson did, for sure.
I mean, I think he wouldn't have to do anything, bro. Like, I'm there. Like, if anything, you can't. I just love that man so much. I love Mahershala.
What is the most romantic film you've ever seen? Are you a romantic, Tahib?
I am. I think I'm a bit of a. I don't know. I haven't been in a relationship in a long time, so maybe I'm not. But I like to think I am. I think I am. But I think I have to be with the right person in order to like, just, you know, be a romantic, innit? I think the most romantic film I've seen is, it's an anime film called Your Name.
That's a great film. I have seen it.
It is like, that's it. That's the film. And there's a part of me that's kind of like, I can't watch that again until I'm in a relationship with someone because it's going to make me too sad. I'm perpetually alone. But that is the most romantic film I've seen. It's just amazing. Like, it makes me really believe in like finding your person and being with them forever.
Yeah.
And I'm good now that I know my person is you. For those who haven't found their Brett Goldstein, it really makes me believe in people having one. Hopefully they find him. or they.
It's a really good choice. I went to see that. I think that's, I haven't seen a lot of anime films at the cinema, and that was one I went to see on a big, big, big screen. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I'm jealous. I watched it at home. I really feel like people are missing out, you know? Like, if people need to get over that subtitles barrier, and there's just so much stuff out there that's really, really, really dope. Your Name is incredible, though. Like, it's beautifully shot. Like, it's just so colorful and amazing to watch. And it's like the voice acting is amazing. And the soundtrack is awesome. It's just everything you need. Like, I dare you to watch that film and not like shed a little thug tear. Do you know what I mean? Cry a little.
My little thug tears are everywhere. What is the best film you ever saw that you never want to see again?
I think the best film I ever saw that I never want to see again has to be The Godfather. Like, I know everybody brings it up, but like, I don't need to see it again. Like, it's, do you know what it is?
I love it.
I didn't watch The Godfather until, like, I think I only watched it like 2 years ago for the first time.
Right.
So it was a while. Like, it was one of my films that it's like, I should have seen this film and I just never saw it when I was younger. And then I watched it, and there's loads of these films that have like loads of hype and everyone's like, oh, it's the greatest film ever. And I'm like, like, you watch some of them and you're a bit like, okay, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. But The Godfather was one where I watched it and I was like, okay, this is it. Like, you've completed film. whatever that is its own thing. And I don't think if I watched it again, I'd have the same reaction to it. And so that's something that I'm just going to leave in a vault. My experience with it that one time was enough. It's incredible. It's the best film ever. Like it is. It's just the best film.
Very nice answer. What is the best action film you've ever seen? And my follow-up question, when are you going to be in an action film?
Oh, man, give me an action film today, bro. I think I'm ready. I think that's something that I'm starting to manifest and put out into the universe. I think you're ready, actually. Well, look at you. For those of you who don't know, like, oh, my goodness. Can we do, like, a three-way buddy cop, like me, you, and Phil?
Fuck, yeah. Good cop, bad cop.
Can you be mad cop? Let Phil be mad cop. You be bad cop, I'll be good cop, and let Phil be mad cop. He just does silly things.
That makes sense. Good cop, bad cop, bad cop.
I guess that's conventional casting. Or we could just flip it all around, you know?
Yeah.
Have you played good cop for once?
I'd like you to play bad cop. I'd play mad cop. Yeah, Phil can be like sexy hero cop.
Yes, yeah. And I'll play bad cop, you play mad cop. That'd be fun. Yeah. Write it.
Okay.
Write that film. Promise the people right now on your podcast you're going to write it.
You write it. You write it. What have I got writing for you? You write it.
I think the best action film I've ever seen is The Raid. Have you seen it?
Oh, shit, yeah. The Raid.
Yeah.
Very good.
The Raid. Incredible. Because I watched it a long time ago, and I honestly can't remember the plot. I just remember like an hour and 30 minutes of people getting the shit beat out of them. And it was incredible. Like, it was, he's just whooping ass, bro, the entire time. And that's what I go to action movies for. Like, I'm like, all right, cool, there's a story. All right, cool, whatever. I just want to see you punch people up.
Sure. Hang these fight scenes with a vague plot. I don't really care. Just get away with the fight.
Like, my tolerance is so, like, I don't mind, bro. Like, I'll take anything. And I just give me a little bit of foreplay and then let's get to the action. Like, I want to see people get thrown off of towers. But yeah, the raid hands up. Also, I think what I really liked about that, I'm not sure if it was the first Raid or the Raid 2, but there's one of them where he starts and he's praying and he's a Muslim and he's praying. And it was like one of the first time I saw somebody pray on TV. And, you know, I come from a Muslim family. And so it was just like really, that was really cool for me. Like, I was like, oh, my God, like, I don't know. Like, wow. I just felt a bit like I felt seen a little, you know, and I was really like, so that's also part of why. I like The Raid so much. But then also, like, he beats loads of people up. So there's that too.
He does a bit of praying and then an awful lot of beating.
Yeah. Like me when I come back from
like there. You at drama school.
Oh, my goodness.
Of all the films, if you had to, Taheeb, which film do you think you could have made and why?
Okay, so, like, this isn't me saying I feel like I could have come up with this idea. But my answer is Swan Song. But I feel like it's because if there was a movie that, if you could write my dream movie and my dream role and like give that to me, I think it'd probably be Swan Song. Like I was obsessed with that film when I watched it. I think I've seen it like 6-7 times. And I was lucky enough to speak to Ben Cleary when after it came out, my team set me up with him and I had a Zoom where I just praised him for like an hour. Yeah. And at one point he was like, okay, cool, I've got to go. And I was like, no, but I love your film.
but I love you.
He also promised he'd introduce me to Mahershala. And I was like, you don't need to do that because I'd make a fool out of the both of us. Like you'd regret that very quickly. But I loved it. Like it was everything that I felt like I wanted to do as an actor. Like it was really sensitive, really delicate. It's just a beautiful, beautiful film. And I remember watching it. I watched it with my mum and I watched it at like 3 a.m. for some reason with my mum. Both of us couldn't sleep. And I just remember like crying in my mum's arms. Because it was really? Like, it was just so gorgeous. And it genuinely made me want to be a better person. It made me want to cherish the time I had with people. I was like, all right, cool. Like, that's what I want to make. So that's not me necessarily saying like I would have found like that really clever idea as a way of telling the story. But if there was a story that summed up like, what type of work I wanted to make, I think it'd be Swan Song in recent history. Yeah.
Well, that's a fucking great, perfect answer.
I mean, I'd ask you the same question, but like you just make everything you want to make. Like actually do it.
Yeah, you can't do, mate. What is the film you have pretended to like to impress people, Taheeb?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I have two. I have two. One in more recent history and another one that I think is actually going to get me cancelled from the internet. But First one, when I saw Power of the Dog, that was the first time I actually lied to people, and it completely went over my head. It's obviously really good and it's really great, funny. But yeah. I saw it and I was just kind of and people were like, oh my God, it's amazing, right? And there was one director that I worked with who was obsessed with it, and I just remember lying my way through it and being like, I really fucked with it, yeah. So, and it just really wasn't for me. I was a bit you know.
Good.
So yeah, Power of the Dog is yeah. I'm gonna go with Power of the Dog. That's
okay.
That's my. I mean, maybe I just need to see it again. I feel like it just kind of went over my head, but. I was like, do I need this?
You need to see it now, you know what the ending is, maybe, and see.
No, but when I saw, I was still just kind of I was, because that's the big twist, isn't it? And yeah. I was I thought I was going to, when it happened, I was going to be oh, cool, great. This is, but I wasn't. I was a bit all right. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I should see it again. I want to see it again. I feel bad.
What's the film you've never seen that you think it's mad you've never seen it?
I've never seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That is mad. What is the film you love that you don't expect anyone else to like?
Grown Ups. Have you seen Grown Ups? Grown Ups is hilarious to me, bro.
That's a perfect
it's fart
concept.
Jokes. It's fart jokes. It's, do you know what I mean? It's whatever. Grown Ups is, it's Grown Ups. But I'm like, people, you should like it.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that you really like going on holiday together and getting paid for it. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. I also just kind of feel a couple, me, you, and, you know, Jason and Phil could, just go and film ourselves on holiday, making jokes, trying to make each other laugh, and we'd have grown-ups, you know? But that's why I like it so much.
This is two good pitches you've got here right now. Good cop, bad cop, bad cop. What are we calling our grown-ups reboot? Rip-off?
I have no idea. You came up with good cop, bad cop, bad cop. I don't know. Just lads, lads, lads. Lads on
lads,
holiday.
Lads.
Lads abroad. Lads, yeah. Neither of those shows are getting picked up.
There's nothing wrong with grown-ups, really. Yeah. And they did with grown-ups too when they wanted to go on holiday again. I sort of respect it.
Sort of?
What's that film, Couples Retreat?
No, I've seen it.
I think it's got John Favreau and other people in it. And it's basically, you know, a load of famous people hang out in Hawaii.
Great.
And you go, I get why you made this.
But
why not?
We need that. It's not every day I want to have my heart ripped out. But sometimes I just want to watch people make fart jokes. You know, it's cool.
What is the film you would show a lover as a test to see if you should be together?
I think I'm gonna go with About Time. Have you seen About Time?
Ooh, About Time killed me.
Domino Gleeson, Rachel McAdams.
Killed me dead. And I watched it on a plane.
Oh, don't watch that on a plane. You cry your eyes out. What is it about crying on planes? Apparently that's a thing, that people cry more on planes.
It is a thing.
Is it the altitude? What is, I don't know.
I don't actually know what it is. I think it may be that you're hovering above the earth. So you're already in a transcendental place. You might be dead at any second. Maybe that's it. I don't
know. Fearing for your life the entire time. Yeah, but About Time is the one.
Why About Time?
I don't know. I think, again, it's one of those films that when you finish it, you just feel you want to be a better person and you want to go into the world leading with love and you want to cherish every day and every moment. Also, he turfs Margot Robbie at the door and runs home to propose to his wife. And I'm like, do you know what I mean? That's kind of incredible. It's remarkable, remarkable, remarkable stuff. But yeah, no, I think it's a really sweet film. And if you can get with that, then I feel like we could vibe together, you know?
Mm. And if you showed it to a lover
and
they didn't like it, would you immediately break up with them?
It'd be a big red flag. Because I'd be like, why don't you like it? I'd have to have the conversation. Yeah. I'd be like, what is it about this that you don't get or you don't like? Because it's perfect. And it's also my happy place film. And I'm like, if you really didn't like it, then that's you attacking my happy place. And
I'm not letting you be with this person.
Thank you.
What is the film that made you the most uncomfortable?
I have two. Okay, I have two answers for this. The first one is Snakes on the Plane, but that's because I was really young when I watched it. And I was really, really, really terrified of running into snakes in my house. There was a bit where one guy's in the toilet and he's trying to have a piss and then a snake comes and bites him on the dick. And I was really scared that was going to happen to me for a lot of my childhood. And so I'd say that, but that's for How old was I when I watched that? Maybe like 8, 9-year-old TV or something. I don't know why I was watching Snakes on a Plane at 9 years old, but whatever. Second one is Midsommar. Have you seen Midsommar?
Yeah.
It was a bit of a weird one. Like, it was just really strange. And like, I felt like I was with it and I got it at the beginning. And then it got to a point where like, it just started making left turns. And I was like, yo, I don't know where we are anymore. It was really strange. I thought Florence Pugh was...
Where did it lose you?
It lost me after they... I mean, what is it? They start taking drugs. Like, they take like a mushroom or a flower or something like that. And then people start tripping. And I think from then on, I was like, I don't understand what the rules of this like cult are. And then it just started getting really trippy. Be aware. And there was a bit where like they're having sex and there's some lady just going ooh.
Yeah,
I just found that so funny, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on here anymore. I went and saw that with one of my friends and we were both a bit, we were just lost. And I also felt really uncomfortable because I imagined myself having to film that scene of just having somebody go,
I thought about that.
I'm having sex. I was like, I can't, I just, but they were great.
Yeah, I definitely remember thinking, god, that's not an easy thing.
It's a tough scene. It's a tough
Jack Rayner.
But I think, I don't know if I like, I just laugh. I find it really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that. I actually, Florence Pugh came on set once, Ted Lasso. And that's how the story. I was, so like, she came, I think with Zach when Zach Braff was directing his episode, and, we were in the locker room and someone was like, oh my God, Florence Pugh's here. And I'm a big fan of hers. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's really dope. And then I just started like talking about Florence Pugh, and I was like, oh, I thought she was really great in Midsommar, but I found that film weird as fuck. And I was just like talking about it for ages. And then I went outside and I realized she had cans on the whole time, and I was mic'd.
And you were mic'd.
So she like, and I was just like, you know, you just want to like, you want the world to swallow you whole. Yeah. So she probably hates me. I mean, to be fair, I did say I thought she was really great in it, which is true, but I found the film trippy as fuck. She's like one of my favorite actresses.
Oh, she's incredible.
Yeah.
You know what? What's brilliant about Midsommar that I didn't know until I read a thing, I think it was the director talking about it, is that you're told that it's like a 9-day festival, this Midsommar. It's a 9-day festival.
Yeah.
And what we see in the film is only the first 3 days. So if that's happening on day three,
that's crazy.
It leaves you going, what the fuck is day 9?
Check me out, bro. I'm done with that. That's crazy. I'm like, find me the first flight home, bro. Like, leave it out.
Yeah, you're right, because they take acid early and she goes, I'm not in a good headspace. But then she takes the acid and then you're like, so now are we on acid for the rest of the film? How long are they on acid?
But like, also it's like, her entire family have died. Like, why are you taking her to the middle of, like, why is she going on this first, like, do you know what I mean?
Well, they're in a pretty... Yeah, I mean, he wanted to break up with her just before that. The whole thing's just a very uncomfortable relationship.
It's just like, it was so... She goes through a lot. And by the end of it, she's like the queen of this little...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess, if she's happy.
Yeah, and he's on fire in a bear suit. But the bit when it's on fire and the two naked men who are just comfortably sitting there and then they just start screaming as the fire and you're like, yeah, because fire is horrible. It's really dark. God, it's a dark film.
Yeah, Midsommar's my pick. That is a trippy film, man. Yeah. Maybe I should watch that again.
Have you seen Men by Alex Garland?
No, Papa Sadie's in it and Rory Kinnear.
Oh, yeah, he's so good in it, by the way. I wanted to... Yeah,
he's a friend.
So good.
And Jesse Buckley. I haven't seen it yet.
It's brilliant. It's wild. I mean, you think Midsommar's wild.
Oh, is it?
Men is wild.
Is it wilder than Midsommar?
Yeah.
It can't be
in a
wilder.
Different way.
Okay, cool. But I feel
it
makes...
It's smaller, but it's got fucking trippy...
To me, it makes sense in the in the trailer. Even when Rory Kinnear is like being everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, that still kind of makes sense. So yeah, I need to go and see that actually. I didn't know it was out.
See how you get on. I really liked it.
Yeah.
But it is mad. If you could show a child one film, what would it be? And frankly, why are you doing it?
Why am I forcing a child to watch one of my favorite films? My pick is Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda is the best. It's the best film ever. It's like, it's one of the best cartoons ever. One of the best animated films I've watched. It's incredible. I feel like you can, whatever you are going through in life, you can watch Kung Fu Panda and take something away from it. It will help whatever situation you are currently in, especially if you're a child. The Kung Fu Panda is the one. Because also, I think, in the first one, especially, Tai Lung is like one of the best villain character arcs that I've seen in a cartoon. Like, because he thinks he's the chosen one, and he's like been raised his entire life to believe he's the chosen one, and then he isn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, why wouldn't you try and fuck up the entire village? Like, when you've been sold a dream your whole life. And you're just really good at what you do and you're better than everybody you know. And the old turtle guy's like, nah, it's not you. And it's like, I've worked my entire life for this though. And he goes, nah, it's not you. And then, burn the village to the ground, I guess. I really like Kung Fu Panda. Because also, like, Jack Black is hilarious. He's so funny.
He's so
good in it. And also, it's just, like, the entire thing is about you are enough, trust yourself, like, find your path and be with it. And, I think everybody needs Master Oogway in their life. Oh, turtle dude. He's dope.
What a lovely answer.
Well, thank you.
Taheeb, you have been great. So good, in fact, that I have made my decision and I am gonna let you live.
Thank you.
But just in case you ever were to say, get killed again by me, and who's to say what your future holds, but at the moment you're gonna live, but just in case you were to ever die again, you've got to leave one DVD in your will. What DVD will you leave?
Ooh, I feel like my DVD has to be Kung Fu Hustle. Steven Chow, Kung Fu Hustle. That's the film. That is the film.
That's your film.
That's my film.
That's your film.
For sentimental reasons, like, it's like a film that me and my parents and my brother bonded over when we were kids. We watched it again recently. Like I told you about, like there was a fire on my block of flats. And so like at the moment we've had to like move to a different house and just while our house is being fixed. And it was a really oddly stressful thing to go through because like you don't really have your own house and you're kind of far away now and you don't really know what's going on. And like, we were all kind of stressed out about it, kind of running around. And I remember recently we were all really stressed out and we put on Kung Fu Hustle. And it was just one of those moments where we all just like sat down and chilled and vibed and it was dope. And so I think Kung Fu Hustle is that film for me and my family. Like it's a comfort film and it's just so silly and fun. Like who can't like Kung Fu Hustle? So that's my film. That's the film that I'd leave to the world in my will.
Taheeb, you are a towering, magnificent man. Is there anything you would like to tell people to look out for or listen to in the coming months? Maybe if you ever finish The Power?
If I ever finish this job called The Power for Amazon, then maybe one day you guys can see it. It is coming. I think 2023, it'll be out. I think that's the main one. But other than that, Ted Lasso 3 is on its way and it's nearly done. And when that's done, that'll be really cool and it'll be really nice. So Ted Lasso and The Power, whenever that arrives.
And just so we've got it on here, if neither of us are married by 60.
Neither of us are married by 60, we're shacking up.
Great.
Terms still yet to be, we have to probably finalize our T's and C's.
We'll thrash out the terms and then we'll sort that out. But we're also pitching Good Cop, Bad Cop, Mad Cop.
Yep.
And
Lads.
Grown-ups. Oh, Lads.
Lads.
Those are our future film projects.
We have to film Lads in Ibiza. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. I will stop the recording now. Thank you for coming back to life. Ooh-hoo. We missed you.
Thank you for having me back. I'm alive!
Goodbye. So that was episode 211. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Taheeb. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, but don't talk about the podcast, talk about the film that means the most to you and why. My neighbour Maureen loves reading it, she always cries and we really appreciate it. Thank you all very much for listening, I hope you're all well. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week for a very special guest. That is it for now, but in the meantime, have a lovely week, and please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations, prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.